This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. This is New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us today. And coming up on the show, many of our favorite partners, including Label Sternbach and friends from AARP Minnesota. All this plus the words to the wise on New Beginnings. And our program is underway right now. Joining us right now from the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy, the director of that department, Dr. Michael Osterholm. How are you?
Good, thanks. Good to be with you again. Thanks for having me.
I do want to ask you about on-time vaccinations in children linked to income. How do we bridge that gap with the vaccinations, not only with COVID, but with all childhood vaccinations in incomes that don't have a lot of money?
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, Freddie, I have to say, you've never asked me a question that didn't have a great reason for being asked ever. So I always anticipate those, okay? And I appreciate them. Well, you know, Freddie, this is one of those ones where I wish we had many more people in our community like you. People who have a voice, people who are listened to, people who are trusted. And I think that one of the challenges we have today is that we've watched the challenge of vaccinated kids go from one where it was largely around safety. Parents were concerned, are these vaccines safe? And what we found with COVID was when vaccines were, in a sense, perceived to be forced on people, that they had to take them, they basically resisted and said, no, don't tell me what to do. And we found that over the past year, more and more people have refused to have their children vaccinated. They have even refused to have their dogs and cats vaccinated against rabies because they don't want to be told what to do. Mm. And we have to recognize that in public health, that this is a formidable barrier, and that in some ways it's by our own making, because we didn't listen enough and try to help the public understand why these vaccines are so important and it's in their best interest. And so I think at this point, it really is a challenge for us to help them realize nobody's trying to tell them what to do. We're trying to give them the advice that can save the life of their child, can save the life of their neighbor's child. And I think that that's the challenge we have right now. We also have to be culturally sensitive. In many ways, the right spokesperson for one population is not going to be the right spokesperson for another population. And who do people trust? That's why I said at the beginning of this answer, I think people like you end up playing very important roles. You know, I've been very involved with a program out of the University of Maryland headed up by Dr. Stephen Thomas, and it's the Black Beauticians and Black Barbers program, where beauticians and barbers throughout many states in the East Coast have been trained on the important public health issues of the day, everything from hypertension, diabetes, you know, cancer screening, to then COVID. And I tell you, they did an amazing job getting the vaccination rates for COVID up in their populations, because you know what? You trust your barber, you trust your beautician, particularly when they have the kind of information at their fingertips that can help you. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it really is about being culturally sensitive and understanding that, you know, the information for one is not going to necessarily be the right information for somebody else. We need to get all the people the right information.
That makes a lot of sense. So does that go hand in hand with what Senator Bernie Sanders is doing, calling for this huge moonshot, a $10 billion investigation into the effects of long COVID? He's looking for help drafting legislation.
Yeah.
Are you a part of that?
Well, yeah, I'm surely one of the experts, I guess they call, that are providing information. But, I mean, I think to put this into perspective, that sounds like a lot of money. But when you realize that up to 20% of our population today are suffering the impact of long COVID, the economic cost of that is much, much, much larger. So this is one of those ones where basically investing a penny may give you a dollar return. And so we have to do a better job of understanding, why does long COVID occur? Once you get COVID infection, you get that initial infection, you surely start to get better. You don't die. You don't go into the hospital with serious life-threatening symptoms. But you now have these persistent symptoms of fatigue, brain fog, other kinds of aspects of everyday life. And these are so, so difficult to live with. And so it's really important that we understand and address long COVID. And so anybody who says, well, that's a lot of money for that, I'm telling you, it is a great investment, because if we can help bring these people back to a better state of health, they're going to go back to work. They're going to be, you know, basically able to live their lives like they did much more before COVID. And that's really important.
Thank you for being with us. He's Dr. Michael Osterholm. Let's talk again real soon.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Freddie. You have a good one, okay? Enjoy this warmer weather and this longer days of sun.
Will do. You too, sir. Talk to you soon. It's so great that you join us this weekend on New Beginnings. And little fun right now. In Romania, a man was sued by his neighbor because his dog snores so loudly that they can't sleep at night. The dog named Sumo, a massive Neapolitan Mastiff, could be heard in every apartment of the building. Researchers in Iowa found that when people drink wine, a lot of them don't even realize how much they're consuming because of variables like the size, shape, or color of the glass. A standard serving size is 5 ounces, but researchers found that participants poured 12% more wine into a wide glass than a narrow one, because we tend to judge volume by height, not width. Study participants also poured more into glasses they held in their hands as opposed to a glass sitting on a table. And most divorces happen in these 2 months.
Bang! Zoom! I'm going to the moon!
More divorces happen in March and August than in any other month, according to a study from the University of Washington. The researchers speculated that couples avoid filing for divorce around Christmas and New Year's, as well as when school is out for the summer, because these times are considered sacred to families. And the latest conspiracy theory is that the nationwide emergency broadcast system will send a signal to cell phones to activate nanoparticles that have been introduced into people's bodies through COVID-19 vaccines. The nationwide test will consist of two portions, with the WEA portion being directed to all consumer cell phones and the EAS portion being sent to radios and televisions.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
If you see something weird, be sure to let me know right here at New Beginnings. Just for fun this week, with New Beginnings, and I'm Freddie Bell. It's time to go back in history, and now it happened this week in 1969. Sirhan Sirhan was convicted of assassinating Senator Robert F. Kennedy. He was originally sentenced to death, but the sentence was reduced to life in prison after California abolished the death penalty. In 1970, the damaged Apollo 13 module splashed down in the Pacific Ocean. In 1993, the federal grand jury in Los Angeles convicted two former police officers, Stacy Kuhn and Lawrence Powell, of violating the civil rights of beaten motorist Rodney King. Two other officers were acquitted. In 1996, businessman Don Clayton died at the age of 69. He opened the first putt-putt miniature golf course and is considered the father of putt-putt golf and games. In 1998, singer-photographer Linda McCartney, yes, the wife of former Beatle Paul McCartney, died after a bout with cancer. She was 56. In 2001, Mississippi residents voted to keep the Confederate emblem on their state flag. In 2006, former Illinois Governor George Ryan was found guilty on all charges in his federal corruption trial in Chicago. A one-time Nobel Prize nominee, Ryan received international attention in 2003 when he commuted the death row sentences of 167 Illinois prisoners. In 2008, in an unscheduled meeting during his five-day visit to the United States, Pope Benedict met with a group of people who say they were sexually abused by priests. The group prayed with the pontiff and he then listened to their personal accounts of what they went through. In 2013, an explosion at a fertilizer plant north of Waco, Texas, resulted in 15 deaths and numerous injuries. And in 2016, Everybody Loves Raymond actress Doris Roberts died at the age of 90. Roberts was nominated for 11 Emmys in her career, with 4 wins for playing Raymond's mother, Marie Barone, and 1 win for a guest role on Saint Elsewhere. It happened this week, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
1 out of every 100 people over the age of 65 will become a victim of financial fraud.
Never saw it coming.
He wiped us out.
This must be stopped.
He told us we had no choice.
The Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse conducts extensive research and provides comprehensive training to individuals and organizations to help prevent elder financial abuse.
He wiped us out.
How could this happen?
Join the fight at endefa.org.
As we continue our fight against COVID-19, it's crucial to prioritize staying informed about vaccinations. By staying up to date on the latest information, we can make informed decisions about our health and our well-being. Vaccinations are a critical tool in our efforts to control the spread of the virus and protect ourselves and our loved ones. Refuse to let misinformation or uncertainty hold you back. Educate yourself and take action to get vaccinated. Together, we can build a healthier and safer future for everyone. Stay informed, stay vigilant, and stay protected. A message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. We're having a wonderful time this weekend. And joining us now is Kathy McClear, AARP Minnesota State Director. And Kathy, welcome back. Always glad to have you.
Happy to be here.
Let's talk today about brain health, and AARP really has a big focus on that for its members and people in our community.
Yeah, you know, as we age, I think staying mentally sharp is one of those things that just about everybody is concerned about. And we do focus a lot on brain health at AARP, and we like to talk about our 6 pillars of brain health. And these are all activities that really can support your brain health, keep your brain engaged, and hopefully, add some life to your years.
Well, let's talk about those 6 pillars. What are they, and can you give us a little bit about each one?
Yeah, so we will be offering a session on the 6 pillars of brain health, and some of the things that we cover in those workshops are tips for staying socially engaged. We've talked about this before on previous programs, and there's been a lot in the news about social isolation and how detrimental that is to your overall health. And so our 6 pillars of brain health talk about staying socially engaged, mm-hmm. making sure that you have someone to connect with. Maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a family member or a friend, just to keep that social connection going. We've talked about always learning something, right? Mm-hmm. You're never too old to learn. You can always find something new to really fill your brain and get those neurons firing in new ways. So continuing to learn, and resources to manage stress.
That's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, stress can be so detrimental to our health in so many ways. And being able to manage stress can really help with your mental fitness as well.
In case you just joined us, I've just asked Kathy McClear to outline the 6 pillars of brain health. We've talked about being socially engaged, continuing to learn, managing stress. We've just mentioned. What are the final 3?
So these are kind of things that your doctor will always tell you or that you always hear about, right? So staying healthy and fit. So making sure you're moving your body to keep your brain sharp. Improving your sleep. How well you sleep plays a huge role in your mental abilities and acuity. I'm a little sleepy today, and I feel like I'm not so sharp today because I didn't sleep very well last night. So sleeping well and improving your sleep is a key piece. And then, of course, you know, feeding your body good, nutritious foods and talking about what foods are best to really have optimal brain health.
Interesting. Now, you mentioned at the outset that there is a session that's coming up that's talking about the pillars of good, healthy brain health.
Yeah, we'd love for people to join us on the 19th of May. It's from 2 to 3 p.m. at the Maple Grove Library. Of course, folks can register at aarp.org/MN events. Mm-hmm. You know, we encourage people to just come out, learn a little bit more, aarp.org/MN events.
All right. Once again, that's the Six Pillars of Brain Health, May 19th, 2024, from 2 to 3 at the Maple Grove Library. And you're listening to New Beginnings. And now it's time for my Song of the Week. Musician Stevie Wonder is living life to the fullest after a major surgical procedure back in 2019 that saw him get a kidney transplant. Just last fall, Stevie Wonder released new music on a collaborative project, The Sweet Sounds of Heaven. It was posted on Instagram by the Rolling Stones. In a short audio clip, you can hear Stevie playing the piano while Lady Gaga sings on the track. This is one of the many songs that Stevie has made throughout his lifetime. And here's one of his biggest hits. It's one of my favorites too. It's Stevie Wonder, my Song of the Week with Do I Do.
Love for you. My life has been waiting woman for me you are make. And I will not deny myself the chance of being part of what feels like the right romance. Girl, do I do? I got some yummy kisses for your lips. Yes, I got some honeysuckle chocolate dipping kisses full of love for you.
That's Stevie Wonder's Do I Do, my song of the week. I'm Freddie Bell, and I invite you to download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app, and let's talk more about the music. Thank you for joining us on New Beginnings. And now it's time for some information from the lighter side of my desk. Of the 25 million or so bags reported missing by U.S. airline passengers each year, 2 million are never found. In 1889, according to the New York Times, there was a war on telephone poles. Wherever telephone companies erected poles, homeowners and business owners saw them down or defended their sidewalks with rifles. Belgium has the highest number of castles and comic book artists per square kilometers in the world. And Dr. Thomas Harvey removed Einstein's brain during his autopsy. For 30 years, Harvey kept it in two mason jars in his Wichita home. Just looking at coffee can make you feel awake. Coffee is life, and research published in Consciousness and Cognition revealed that just looking at a cup of coffee in the morning is enough to perk us up. The effect, which can even be sparked by just thinking of anything that reminds us of a latte or espresso, is more pronounced than tea. You need 10 servings of fruits and veggies. It's no secret that most of us could probably stand to eat more fruits and vegetables. A study found that eating more than 5 servings of fruits and veggies each day can reduce the risk of heart attack, stroke, cancer, and early death. In fact, the researchers in London found that the greatest benefit came from eating 10 portions of fruit and vegetables each day. It's wacky, but it's true. Chinese surgeons came to the rescue after a man accidentally swallowed a pair of small fingernail scissors that he was using to clean his teeth. As he tried to cough it up, the point, which were facing upwards, dug deeper into his throat, causing serious damage. That's when the man headed to the hospital. And finally, why dogs are better than kids? It doesn't take 45 minutes to get a dog ready to go outside in the winter. Dogs can't lie. Dogs never resist nap time. You don't need to get an extra smartphone for your dog. Dogs don't care if the peas have been touched by the mashed potatoes. The average cost of sending a dog to school? $75. The average cost of sending a child to school? $150,000. And dogs are housebroken by the time they're 12 weeks old. News from the lighter side of my desk this week, and I'm Freddie Bell. Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org.
Recovery is not just about physical healing. It's about rebuilding and restoring our communities, our economy, and our sense of well-being. By staying informed about recovery efforts, you can play an active role in shaping our collective pathway forward. Whether you're recovering from COVID-19 or supporting others, staying informed empowers you to make informed decisions and access the support you need. Together, we can navigate the challenges of recovery and emerge stronger and more resilient than ever. A message from the Minnesota Department of Health. Thank you for listening to New Beginnings. You can stay up to date with this show. All you have to do is go to Google or to Apple and download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app. Yes, download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app, and you'll be up to date on everything concerning this show and anything related to Freddie Bell. More to come. Stay with us.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Your broker loves them. Your advisor hates them. Join us as we discuss how to tell if the mutual funds in your portfolio are killing your retirement or a godsend. I'm Freddie Bell with Label Sternbach. Label, it's good to be back with you, and we're going to talk about mutual funds today.
Hey, how are you doing?
Unbelievable. So I have to ask you this stupid question, Label. What is so bad about mutual funds in the first place?
Let's set the record straight, right? Mutual funds on their own aren't inherently bad. It just, and for the longest time, they were the only vehicle that the vast majority of people had access to be able to do a whole lot of things. However, over the last, 15, 20 years, as life changes, the financial landscape has evolved, and there are now better tools that can do the same thing, if not better, than mutual funds. And so we got to reevaluate, and we got to say, are we using the best instrument to accomplish the goals that we want to accomplish? And so when we think about mutual funds, right, and, we think about it in the context of the greater investment world, there are a lot of shortfalls to mutual funds for the everyday investor, right? Now, that's not to say that there aren't mutual funds that is the best option and it's the best vehicle for what you want. But for the vast majority of people, you got to really take a hard look and say, is a mutual fund the right vehicle for me to have in my retirement account or in my brokerage account? And it has to do fundamentally with how they're structured, right? Fundamentally, mutual funds are, you are owning shares in an investment company. And when we think about investments, we don't really want to own a piece of every single, of an investment company, because investment companies are buying and they're selling, they're doing all kinds of activity. Mm-hmm. What we want is we want to own the underlying companies that they're invested in, right? If, our nervous Nelly neighbor has to sell, we don't want to be impacted by that, right? Why should our retirement account be impacted because nervous Nelly next door is constantly buying and selling? But when you own a mutual fund, that's what happens, because you are pooling your investments with the nervous Nillies, and they get to dictate how often you're trading, how often the manager's trading, what the manager has to do in order to make people happy. And you end up with an experience that isn't quite ideal. And I mean, for the longest time, it was the only experience available. If you wanted to have access to professional money managers, or you wanted to have access to, broad-based index returns, right? If you want to actually hold the entire S&P 500 without owning all 500 stocks in your portfolio, the only way to do it was through a mutual fund. But there are now better options. So when we talk about, good, bad, and ugly, well, mutual funds are great if you want to, kind of have a hedge fund type, pooled investment, and you're investing in something that requires a pooled investment. But nowadays, when you have ETFs that do everything that 90% of the mutual funds do, except you own the entire share and you're not impacted by the actions of other people, it makes a lot more sense to go into ETFs rather than mutual funds. And so at a high level, right, that's kind of, That is one of the reasons why mutual funds aren't good. Going into specifics, right? Let's talk about something very specific that's weird about mutual funds. Okay. Is because you are owning shares in an investment company and not like shares of Apple or whatever, what ends up happening is you get a 1099 at the end of the year. And so all those trades and all those things that the company did throughout the year, because all the nervous Nillies decided that they wanted to exit the market when the market was down, and then they want to buy in when the market is high, right? And all the bad decisions that they make, and all the money that the manager has to spend on doing marketing, and all the money that the manager is spending on trading fees because of those nervous Nillies, right? Mm-hmm. And all those things that are happening inside of the mutual fund, they get sent to you as a 1099. And it is very possible that you'll pay taxes in a year where your mutual fund is down because the market was down, and you'll get a 1099 that has income, and you're paying on income because of all the nervous Nillies who made all the bad decisions. So when we're talking about investments and what's the best thing to do and what to hold, mutual funds definitely are not it. You know, now your broker, they love it, right? JP Morgan, they love their mutual funds, right? If you're with JP Morgan or Edward Jones or Merrill Lynch or any of the big name people,
right?
Go look at your accounts and I guarantee you, you're going to be in mutual funds. And the reason why they love mutual funds is because they get to hide a whole lot of costs in there, right? And they say, oh, we're not charging you a fee. Well, maybe they're charging you an upfront commission. Or maybe they're taking expenses internally, right? And they've got, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in there or billions of dollars in there, and they're charging a through the nose in fees that you may not see expressed through expense ratios or other calculations because it's an actual company, right? And so it's got to pay a staff, it's got to pay a board of directors, it's got to pay marketing costs, it's got to, you know, pay for the lavish parties and the conferences. And I know because I'm a financial advisor who gets the benefit from that stuff.
So speaking of that, you're talking about brokers. What's the primary reason a broker might prefer a mutual fund, and how do these reasons align with an investor's interest?
Yeah, so there are three reasons why a broker would prefer mutual funds over other investments. So number one is because, generally speaking, if they're at a place like Edward Jones or Merrill Lynch or JP Morgan or Morgan Stanley or any of those big name firms where you go because you like the name on the door, well, those big firms, they're big because they know how to make money. And one of the ways that they make money is by having these mutual funds, and they make a huge amount of money on the inside. And they tell their advisors, you are only allowed to sell our investments, right? They give them a list of investments they're allowed to use, and they give them a list of strategies to put people in. And, you know, 75, 80, 90% of the investments on that list are called proprietary funds, right? Ones that are owned and run by the parent company. So they're double dipping over there, and that's why they want to do it. So your advisor, he may not think it's the best thing since sliced bread, but he doesn't really have a choice, and he's not allowed to tell you otherwise because his first loyalty will always be to his firm and not to you. Right, so that's number one why brokers like it. Number two, it pays a commission, right? There's different share classes when it comes to mutual funds. When it comes to ETFs, there generally isn't different share classes. With a mutual fund, you can have different share classes, and each of those different shares have different rights. And generally speaking, it's around how much commission the broker is allowed to charge. And A shares can be, you know, almost 6% in commissions. And not only on the first purchase, but it can be on every subsequent dividend reinvestment, they could be getting a commission.
Wow.
So, yeah. So your broker, right, he loves it because he, you know, they're double dipping on the fees on the inside, on the outside. They get trailing fees, you know, 12-1B fees that trail every single year. They could be up to 1%. The advisor who's selling it to you likes it because he gets an upfront commission, right? And then... you know, so these are generally speaking the reasons why your broker wants to sell you a mutual fund. On the flip side of it, right, there really is no reason. I shouldn't say there's no reason. There's very few reasons why you'd want to be in a mutual fund as opposed to an ETF. And it's so much so because of investor pressure, because of advisor pressure. A lot of the mutual fund companies have started ETFs where, you know, it's the exact same strategy that is in the mutual fund is available in an ETF format. And ETFs have much more favorable tax treatment, as well as generally speaking, lower costs and a lot more transparency. So it's a lot harder for the issuers to hide those fees that they're making a ton of money off of.
You gave us both sides of that from the broker perspective. So what are the long-term label implications of keeping mutual funds in somebody's retirement portfolio, and how can they either hinder or enhance a retirement's readiness?
Yeah, so let's talk about, we'll talk about the positives and then I'll talk about the negatives. So the one thing that a mutual fund can do that an ETF can't do is it can do strategies, investment strategies that are not ideal for an ETF format. So if you're trading intraday, if you have like some kind of, you know, strategy that looks at specific companies and you're constantly doing these like one-off trades, right? Really think like a hedge fund, right? So if you're doing hedge fund type trading, it's easier to do that in a mutual fund than an ETF, because an ETF, you know, it's a trust. every single morning, the money manager has to say what positions it's going to hold, and then it holds those positions. It's not really meant for doing, you know, complex trading. It's more like, I want to own the S&P 500, or I want to, you know, I tactically buy and sell things on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, right? Even daily, it gets very expensive to do with an ETF. So generally speaking, it's like, you know, it's we're doing strategic type of moves. If you have something that trades every single day or even multiple times a day, which there are strategies, like if you're doing, you know, currency type stuff, or you're, you know, doing a long short where you're like arbitraging opportunities in the market, makes sense to do that in a mutual fund. Or if you're doing, you're owning things that aren't very liquid, right? Let's say you're buying, you know, really small companies because you have some algorithm that tells you that they're going to pop. Hard to do that in an ETF. Very few people will provide liquidity for the ETF, so it becomes expensive to do it that way. Mutual fund is a good format to do that. Outside of that, right, generally speaking, so the pros of, the cons of a mutual fund, right, you've got all those hidden things and those trading costs, and then you get your 1099 at the end of the year, so you're paying taxes on short-term gains and all the short-term trading that's happening inside of that mutual fund. Whereas in an ETF format, you're not having that. There's a lot more transparency, a lot less ability for the manager to be able to kind of, you know, siphon off the profits from the fund before it goes to the investor. So you get a lot more out of ETFs than you would out of a mutual fund, which if you just want simple type of investments, even things like target date funds or where you want some kind of active management, it's still easier to do that in an ETF with a lot less cost than it is to do it in a mutual fund. So for an investor, right, when you're looking at your portfolio, right, you want to look and see, is there a very strong reason why this is a mutual fund and not an ETF? Because the default should be, I want this to be in an ETF where I get the most return possible and I pay the least in expenses possible and I have the most transparency possible. If it's in a mutual fund, you basically have no idea what's happening on the inside. They don't have to report very regularly. There's a whole lot of, you know, they can take out all kinds of things as expenses and you'll never even know it. So the default should be that I shouldn't be in a mutual fund. I should be in an ETF unless I have a compelling reason otherwise.
Well, we're just about out of time, Label, but I want to know, if we are invested in a mutual fund, what should we do today? What should we do before the quarter is over?
So the first thing you should do is you should look and see if the mutual fund provider has taken the time and effort. If they have ETFs launched of those same strategies, they should have a list for you of funds that you can transfer into from a mutual fund to an ETF. And if this is in your taxable account or your brokerage account, that you can do tax-free. If it's in a retirement account, I would just go ahead and do that because they're, generally speaking, there's no reason to hold on to those mutual funds. Just move it into the ETF. You'll have a better experience. Outside of that, right, I would definitely recommend that you talk to an advisor. And one of the questions you should ask them is, do you use mutual funds in your investment allocation? And if they say yes, then ask them, is there a reason why you use mutual funds over ETFs? And the answer better not be, because I make more money that way.
Oh, my goodness. I hope that's not the answer. That's about all the time we have for this episode of Label on Fire. We're talking about mutual funds. And if you'd like to learn more information, you can certainly visit yields4u.com. That's yields, the number 4, the letter U, .com. And this is New Beginnings. Today is National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day. It recognizes one of the top comfort foods in the United States. Why wouldn't it be when we're talking about bread grilled to perfection and warm, gooey, melted cheese? According to food historians, many cultures around the world have enjoyed cooked bread and cheese since ancient times. The United States' modern version of the grilled cheese sandwich originated in the 1920s. As sliced bread and American cheese became easily available, Americans began making open-faced grilled cheese sandwiches, and grilled cheese sandwiches are versatile too, thanks to their ability to mix and match cheeses, bread, and seasonings. Adding sautéed vegetables and herb-infused oils can elevate this simple comfort food to a whole different level. Today is National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day.
Each year, financial fraud steals up to $37 billion from senior citizens.
It was devastating.
What are we going to do?
many lose their entire life savings.
They told us we had no choice.
The Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse conducts extensive research and provides comprehensive training to individuals and organizations to help prevent elder financial abuse.
You wiped us out.
How could this happen?
Join the fight at endefa.org.
As we navigate the complexities of COVID-19 recovery, it's essential to prioritize staying informed and up to date on the latest developments. By staying informed, you can access the tools and information needed to support your recovery journey effectively. Whether you're recovering from COVID-19 yourself or supporting a loved one, staying informed is essential. Remember, each recovery is possible and you're not alone. Together, we can overcome the challenges of COVID-19 and emerge stronger than ever. Stay informed, stay connected, stay resilient. A message from the Minnesota Department of Health. Thank you for listening to New Beginnings. You can stay up to date with this show. All you have to do is go to Google or to Apple and download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app. Yes, download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app and you'll be up to date on everything concerning this show and anything related to Freddie Bell. More to come. Stay with us. As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
From a time of preparation, perhaps we've examined our lives and considered ideas and habits, thoughts, the way we've always done things, and that it was time for change. For change brings renewal, new possibilities. And so now we enter this holy week of Easter, and it brings us new opportunities. The Unity minister who succeeded Charles Fillmore, Dr. Ernest Wilson, wrote in his book entitled The Week That Changed the World, he entitled this week as a year in miniature. A year in miniature. What on earth did he mean by that? Are we cramming all of our activities of an entire year into 1 week? No, surely that's not what he intended. What he was suggesting, as that book he wrote follows the gospel story of this last week, of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday, and the final week of his physical life on this earth. What were the sequence of events that can be for us a master plan of living? The whole year, as it were, perhaps our whole life, wrapped up into one sequence that Jesus modeled for humanity. Well, let's dig into that a little bit deeper. Peg McFedrin wrote, "Whether we pay attention to it or not, every cell and organ system in our body is synchronized with the universal rhythms of nature. All layers of our being, although our senses lead us to perceive that we are separate from the world around us, we are constantly exchanging energy and information with the environment. When our eternal rhythms are in sync with those of the environment, we experience well-being. Life moves in recurring cycles of rest and activity. Every cell, organ, and system in our body operates according to predictable rhythms, with periods of dynamic activity and times of quietness. These same patterns of rest and activity are found within the cycles of nature. The sun rises and sets. The moon waxes and wanes. The tides approach and recede. So the human being can learn from observing nature these all-important cycles of existence. But what makes the human being unique is that we are not bound or tied by the cycles of nature. Many of those in the animal kingdom can only have certain experiences in the year in certain seasons. And we know that's even more so true of the plant kingdom. The rose, unless it is a miracle, does not pop up in the snow of Minneapolis in December to bloom. It follows a very closely related cycle to nature. Human beings have more freedom, but yet, when we observe cycles of nature, when we observe the inner cycles of our soul, we're more likely to find our healing, our balance. We are more likely relieved of anxiety when there is change all around us. We can learn and be healed. Now today we celebrate Palm Sunday, that day that Jesus entered Jerusalem, and the week was filled with symbols. We could talk as to why this leader that so many, the crowds were looking to for hope, for new possibilities, and he arrives riding on a lowly beast of burden. Not only that, a young donkey colt. And so he rides into the city at the same time, historically, that the Roman leader was entering another part of Jerusalem with great fanfare, pomp, and circumstance, great demonstration of power. And here, Jesus, this extraordinary spiritual leader, is coming in humility. Well, already at the start of the week, some people were beginning to question, what's going on? Now they began greeting this man who had accomplished healing miracles about the land, had even just recently raised Lazarus from a burial tomb to new life. So they were excited. They were waving palms. They were throwing palms and throwing their cloaks and garments in the street so that he could ride over. They could prepare a way of honor for him. But none of them knew what was coming. None of them had a full sense of the cycle of which I wish to speak today. The Holy Week of Easter gives us a cycle of all human experience, a roadmap, as it were. Or for those of us more technologically advanced, some form of inner GPS of how we can navigate the changes, the challenges, the big excitements of life with assurance. And so Palm Sunday teaches us of celebration. What were the people shouting according to the scriptures? According to the many songs, such as the one that Steve just shared for us. Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Which, if we're listening carefully, we can hear the words, blessed are we, when we come in the name of the Lord. Well, first, let's look at Hosanna. Do you know what it means? I had to research it. Yes, it's a shout of acclaim, but in Hebrew, it actually means save now. Save now.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org. Here are today's words to the wise. Little children have big ears. It emphasizes the idea that children are often more perceptive and observant than adults realize. Children are attuned to their surroundings and can pick up on conversations, behaviors, and emotions, even when adults think they're not paying attention. This is also a reminder to be mindful of what we say and do in front of children. It also underscores the importance of being positive role models and providing a nurturing and supportive atmosphere for children to grow and to develop. Today's words of the wise, little children have big ears. That's our show, and thanks to our special guests for stopping by and sharing information that we hope can change lives. If you missed any of today's show, you can subscribe to our podcast or just Google Freddie Bell or stop by my website of the same name. Thanks for listening, and remember that each day is a chance for a new beginning. See you next week.